ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is Sasha Grief, a man of many talents, a designer who has also made a great career, and author of multiple development frameworks. Hi, Sasha.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for making it today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, was it the right way to describe your achievements?
Yeah, I mean, I never know how to describe myself because, yeah, like you said, I've been a designer, I've been a developer, and now I'm probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, so the topic for our today's conversation is, you know, how to combine all these talents and define which of them is actually the dominant one and make your career. But before we dive in, I'd love to have a short blitz questionnaire with you, if that's fine.
Sure.
All right. So question number one is, what do you do for a living?
And oh, man, that's a hard question. So, Go ahead.
I just read a book about French manners, and the people said that in France you never ask a person that question. It's considered implied, and I'm like, wow, I have that question number one in my questionnaire.
Oh, is it? I think maybe it's not as common, you know, as a introduction question in as in the US maybe, but I wouldn't say it's impolite, so don't worry, I'm not offended or anything. It's just that my own situation, like, I never know how to answer that because I'm basically an independent entrepreneur, but I don't have clients or I don't do consulting, and I just have a bunch of different projects that I try to monetize, and that's how I make a living, basically. So I'm a professional side project launcher.
Right. Internet entrepreneur or something like that.
Yeah, but that it sounds like, when you say internet entrepreneur, it sounds like I actually know what I'm doing and I've got it all figured out, which is definitely not the case, so.
That's awesome. Could you give us an overview of your projects briefly?
Okay, so I would say probably my main or most successful project right now is a site called Sidebar, which is a newsletter of design links. So you can sign up and every day I'll send you the five best design links of the day. And so that's actually built on an open source app I created myself called Telescope. So that's probably another big project. And then Telescope uses a framework called Meteor. And I wrote a book about Meteor, or co-wrote, actually. So for a long time, that was my main project. But these days, the book is a little bit older, so it doesn't sell as much. So I'm kind of moving on to other things. And for example, one of these other projects is a survey I recently published called State of JavaScript at stateofjs.com. And so that's what I've been working on for the past month or so, just collecting the data and then analyzing it and publishing it.
Great. Is there any, you know, big motive or philosophy that combines your projects?
I'm not sure if there is. I haven't really noticed it myself. I guess it's just about, I do try to kind of make projects that can piggyback on each other, you know. So, for example, I wrote about a JavaScript framework with Discover Meteor, and then I wrote about the JavaScript ecosystem in general for the State of JS survey. So I'm trying to stay in that niche or in that domain. And, you know, same with Sidebar, like, that's kind of my other domain of design and design content and so on. So I try not to stray too far from that, but sometimes, you know, I just have other ideas which I might or might not do.
Awesome. How did you get there to where you are today?
So it's a pretty long story. Like, if you go all the way back, I started just hacking with, you know, at first I was just using like Photoshop and I was playing with Photoshop filters and lens flares like that. And I really liked visual design and graphic design, but I wasn't super good at it. So I actually studied computer science in college. And I really liked programming, but what I didn't like was it was very theory focused. So, like, for example, I never actually learned how to install or code anything on a Windows machine, because at college we had Unix machines, and they never told us how you actually, you know, run the language or whatever at home. So it was very impractical in that sense, and I couldn't really put my knowledge to use. So I actually went more into web development rather than computer science, and then from there more towards design. And I was a freelance designer for a long time. And finally, once I wanted to launch my own projects, at that time I went back into development just to be able to create them, you know. Just wanted to be independent and be able, when I had an idea, be able to just create it without having to hire somebody else or so on.
We call these people dangerous people who can go from the idea to development.
Yeah, it's with design. Yeah, it can be dangerous for yourself as well, because it's a huge time sink sometimes.
Uh-huh, great angle. What does your typical day look like?
I don't know if I have a typical day. Like, I mean, one thing I do every day is sidebar. So I find 5 links every single day. I think for the past, 3 years or 4 years, I've found these 5 links every day without fail. So that's definitely part of my routine. And then I just fill in the rest of the time with whatever project I'm working on at that time. Sometimes a lot of the days are just answering email and blogging or playing video games. Like, I don't really have a super strict work schedule.
Do you spend a lot of time like churning out work, or is it more like 4-hour work week for you?
Probably closer to the 4-hour work week. Like, I kind of have periods where I'm deep into one project, so I'll work a lot. But most of the time, because the problem when you have multiple projects like I do is it's easy to get distracted, and there's always like, it's more like small things on each project. So maybe, you know, I'll renew a domain name and then answer an email and deal with a sponsor for sidebar. So I don't get that many chances to just like block out like 4 hours and work on one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy the most and the least about your work?
So, actually, I think my previous answer applies to that question as well, because what I really enjoy is working on multiple projects and being able to, you know, for example, for the survey that I just launched, I was able to kind of use a whole new brand and color palette and fonts and so on, because it's a new project. So I can just create a new visual universe from scratch, use new technologies, don't have any legacy or that to think about. So that's really cool. And then the downside of this is that I then end up with like, you know, 20 different things that keep breaking all the time and need to maintain and keep in my mind. So that can be a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What is your next big thing?
So I'm not sure, actually. Right now I'm kind of in between projects. One thing I find really interesting is, maybe you've heard, like, if you're into the JavaScript and web, especially front-end web development world, you've definitely heard about JavaScript fatigue, which is people's term for like the overwhelming complexity of the JavaScript ecosystem right now. And I think there's a strong demand for more content, like study guides, blog posts, talks, and so on, to, you know, not so much to explain, but more to simplify and kind of help people get that overview, that high-level overview of things. So my next project will probably be in that direction. Maybe a study guide or maybe another book. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's go to the main topic of our conversation. I'd love to give our listeners a short background. How I actually found your profile online was 2013. I was looking for role models for my new book. So your case study and the one you wrote a book about designing web applications called Step by Step UI Design. And there was a book by Jared Drysdale called Bootstrapping Design, I think it was. And you were all over the internet with that example. And over the last years, I watched you transition from clearly web app design towards all these frameworks, writing Discover Meteor. Could you share? Well, you already shared that you like to piggyback one project upon the other. But generally speaking, why did you drift towards development and became famous in the development field? What do you think?
So, like I said, it was basically that I wanted to be able to build stuff. Like, I like programming, but my favorite part is actually launching and building and getting feedback and improving. So to be able to do that, you do need, you know, some development skills, I think. And I tried the other way, like hiring other people, getting freelancers. But, you know, it's kind of tricky because you need some base level of knowledge to just be able to manage other people, right? So I found that you couldn't really avoid becoming a developer yourself if you're, you know, because I should say I work by myself, right? I actually live in Japan, and it's not like I have a company, or I don't live in San Francisco where you can meet other developers and designers like in your neighborhood coffee shop. So I kind of had to learn how to be independent and survive by myself in the wilderness, sort of.
Could you share some of your learning steps that you mastered from your abstract, you know, classic education towards being a person who can actually do stuff on the web?
Well, I mean, I should say it took me like, you know, more than 10 years. So I don't know if you want to copy my method because it's pretty slow. But yeah, I just, you know, first... So I actually spent some time in China, and at the time, I found a job in a web agency. And when I started that job, I basically didn't know anything about, I didn't even know what CSS was, basically. So they gave me an opportunity to kind of learn on the job and learn from my colleagues, and that was really cool. And then from there, I just kind of tried to add knowledge, like, bit by bit, you know. I guess luck played a big role. People gave me opportunities. People hired me for jobs which I was completely unqualified for. And then I had to learn, you know, on the job. So, it just happened over time. I think a lot of people who have kind of my profile, who are self-taught, they follow a similar path, right? They kind of learn on the job, and they just pick up bits here and there. There's not really like a set blueprint you can follow, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any preferred, well, probably Googling, just reading articles upon whenever you have the need when you're on project? Is that the preferred method of learning?
Yeah, I mean, I don't read that many articles anymore, but when I was starting out, I would, you know, read Smashing Magazine every day, read every single blog. I would write myself as well. I wrote for all these blogs. Writing and reading had a huge impact on my career, I think. Both are super important, yeah.
So you are an author of several books, and I would love to ask a question. How do you, you know, rate or evaluate the experience of writing step-by-step UI design as opposed to writing a big technical tome, if that's the right word, of Discover Meteor, which I know became very, very successful in that field?
Yeah, I think it's pretty kind of you to use the word several when I've just written two.
Okay, no, one.
Yeah, multiple books, I guess, several.
Right.
Like step-by-step UI design was kind of very special because it's super short. First of all, it's like 30 pages and most of it is screenshots. And because it walks you through building a UI step by step, as the name indicates. And I wrote it because I had recently blogged about building a landing page, and that blog post was super successful. So it made me think that there was a strong demand for more content like that, where basically I explain my thought process behind building a landing page or a UI. Not so much, not just, you know, the technical aspect of, you know, a Photoshop tutorial, because that was very common, but more the why, the reason behind the design choices. So I wrote it in like maybe 3 weeks. You know, I had nothing to lose. It was a pretty short project, and then it did really well. And I learned a lot about writing and marketing books, especially self-published ebooks, and that in turn helped me a lot for Discover Meteor, which was, you know, a much, much bigger project, because I had a co-author this time, and it took us maybe 6 months to write it. But, you know, since I had that previous success behind me, it kind of gave me the confidence to invest that time and effort into Discover Meteor.
Is there much difference between writing a design book and a development book, like in a technical process?
I don't think so. I mean, both books kind of walk you through a process step by step. So a design process for step-by-step UI design and a development process for Discover Meteor. But the structure is pretty similar. You know, you build each chapter build on the previous one, and it's still, you know, words on the page. I guess the main difference from a like purely technical standpoint is that for Discover Meteor, we actually built out an app to host the book and kind of serve as an interactive online book where people could leave comments and also kind of have live previews of what they were building, whereas the design ebook was just, you know, a PDF, so it was a lot easier to create from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of the success factors of Discover Meteor is that you picked a smaller ecosystem that you dwelled upon. Could you elaborate a little bit on that, why you decided to pick that very topic and build your next product in the development ecosystem?
Yeah, it was basically a bet that Meteor would become big, and it did. And I was using Meteor for Telescope and then Sidebar, so I was already a user. Since I was one of the early adopters, I realized very soon that there wasn't that much documentation, tutorials about that specific framework. And yeah, I thought, you know, there's a team of super smart people working on this. They have funding. They have a great idea. So why wouldn't it be successful? It just made sense to me that there was something there. And I knew I could write a book. And I knew if I did write it, I would be able to publicize it and market it, since I had done it before. So, at the time, it seemed like a pretty safe bet, and it paid out, so I'm glad I made it.
That's fantastic. Would you like to talk a little bit about your marketing expertise? Because no matter what niche you pick, you still need to market your projects and products. How did you learn marketing?
I don't know if I know marketing or if I learned it, but it just seems like there's things you can do online that have good results, like blogging, mainly blogging, actually. I think most of my success for any of my projects came from just writing, either for myself or for other blogs. And, you know, I think when people talk about marketing, I think what it all boils down to is building a relationship with your audience. And that sounds a bit cliche, but it's really like, what do people think about when they hear your name or the name of your product? What kind of emotional relationship do they have with you? Like, even for a podcast, right, you have an audience and you want people to maybe look forward to the next episode. You want them to anticipate the episode, and you want them to, you know, if, let's say, you were replaced by a new host next week, you want them to be sad and be like, oh, where did Jane go? We want Jane back. And for me, that's all marketing, even though it's not a super, like, it's not a super nice word, but I don't know how to call it otherwise. It's just like building that relationship. And sometimes it's just, you do that by Twitter, sometimes with email, sometimes with blogging, but it's all part of the same thing for me.
In your audience, was that relationship mutual? Do you have like forum or platform for commenting, or is it a one-way road when you translate, kind of just go ahead and, you know,
yeah,
transform
really
your messages?
So I think it's best if you can have that two-way relationship. But it's not always like easy or appropriate. Like, for example, for Discover Meteor, so we had comments on each page of the book. We have comments on our blog. We're active on Twitter by email, but we didn't have like forums. And it's something we could definitely have done. Like looking back, we definitely had enough audience to have an active forum or Slack chat room, maybe. But so for Telescope, for example, I do have a Slack chat room with, I think in total, there's like over 1,000 participants with maybe, you know, a dozen maybe active every day. But yeah, it's definitely something I try to be aware of. But sometimes, you know, like for the survey, the JavaScript survey I launched, people just want to see the results, right? They don't want to bother with like one more Slack chat room or one more forum just for that. So sometimes it doesn't really make sense, I think. But yeah, definitely if it does make sense, I think you should do it. Try to have that more inclusive community experience.
Mm-hmm. Since there are a lot of people listening to us who are still looking for their right, proper career path, do you have any recommendations for those who, you know, have inclinations towards different skills, how to pick the right profession, or I don't know, any career guidance?
So my personal philosophy is that there's basically only one way to solve that problem, is to try lots of things. So just set up your life in a way that lets you try multiple projects, try design development, try different fields, or even cooking, surfing, whatever you want to try. So that means, you know, having enough time, having enough money. And then, yeah, if you try enough things, eventually you're bound to find one that fits you, right?
Mm-hmm. Were there any books or something that shaped your thinking, or was it purely experience?
I don't know if there's any books. Like, I like reading about psychology and economics, so, you know, just pretty popular books like Free Economics or Thinking Fast and Slow. But I don't know if they shaped my thinking or anything. It's more like I'm just interested in those topics. I think it all comes down to experience and, like I said, trying many things. Like, in other words, it's not so much about reading one book that's going to open the path and give you like the perfect answer. Is more about trying lots of things and making lots of mistakes as well. So I think being right is probably valued too much. It's better to be wrong a lot than being right a little, basically.
Can you recall, if you're willing to, of course, a few of your most memorable mistakes in life, especially in professional area?
I don't really know. That's a hard question. Like,
I'm sorry.
I don't know if I see things in terms of mistakes and success. Like, it's just I'm doing my thing, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But even if it doesn't, I wouldn't say it's a mistake because it sets the stage for whatever I'm going to do next. So, I have, like everybody, maybe I've like erased my client's database or things like that. So these are definitely mistakes, but I wouldn't say I've made like a huge mistake, because maybe I did, but I'm not aware of it, right? I think we're very good at rationalizing our choices in life. So you probably should ask my friends or my family which mistakes I've made, not me.
actually, I absolutely share the same approach, and it's all like smooth learning curve, and you never know what exactly you did right, wrong, but you are getting more and more confident in your choices as the more you go, kind of thing.
that's a really good way to put it. I agree.
A little bit off topic. I'm really curious about your background when it comes to moving to Japan from France, and now I see there was China along the way, and you also practice martial arts. I just saw that on your site.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about your enchantment with the East?
Sure. So I actually studied Chinese in college. So because computer science was pretty dry and, you know, pretty intense. So I wanted something like a language or social science to kind of balance it out. So I found Chinese. I had just been to China the year before, and I really liked the country and the culture. So I started studying that. And then I actually quit computer science and kept studying Chinese for one more year. And that's what led me to moving to China for a while. And ironically enough, like, I ended up doing web development in China because that's the job I found. So it kind of, like, I tried to escape from computers and programming, but I kind of fell back into it. And then Japan, I've also always really liked Japan. You know, growing up in France, we had all these anime and manga, and we're very exposed to Japanese culture. And my wife, who is French as well, is the same way. And she had the opportunity to get a scholarship to come study in Japan 4 years ago. So we decided to move here. And yeah, that's basically my story.
What about martial arts? Does it shape your character in any way?
So, yeah, I mean, not really, I think. But the one thing that maybe helps a little bit is when you compete in martial arts, it's so stressful, at least for me, that it makes any other thing like public speaking or you know, meeting with people very very relaxing in comparison. So, you know, that's one piece of advice. Find something, force yourself to do something that you really, really hate, and then everything else will seem super pleasant in comparison.
Mm-hmm. That's a great piece of advice. So as we're wrapping up today's conversation, we already had a list of your project, but where can people find you online to talk to you and read your writing?
So I have a personal site at sashagrieve.com, but literally I think I haven't updated it in like 2 or 3 years. So maybe a better place is just on Twitter, like twitter.com/sashagrieve. And I'm also on Medium like everybody else. And yeah, mm-hmm. you know, usually if I publish a new blog post or a new project, I make sure to spam my Twitter followers with it a bunch of times, so you'll hear about it.
That's fantastic. Thank you for joining us today and for sharing your wisdom. I'm sure it's going to be useful for those who are, you know, still thinking about their careers these days.
Yeah, no problem. And if anybody's listening to this and has questions, hit me up on Twitter and I'll do my best.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.